You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this sermon is a third of five in what I'm calling the Bethlehem series. We started with some basics about the word Bethlehem. Last week we focused on the book of Ruth, chapters 1 and 2, and today we're going to go on to the rest of the book of Ruth, chapters 3 and 4. Let me give you a summary of what we did last week, just to refresh your memory. So you might remember that in the first part of the book of Ruth, Naomi's family had left Bethlehem full, as the Bible says. In other words, she had a husband and two sons when she left. However, 10 years later, she came back empty because her husband and her two sons had died while they were living in Moab. Only Ruth, her devoted daughter-in-law, returned with Naomi to Bethlehem. And then Ruth, she went to find some food for both her and Naomi. She did that by gleaning in a field. And just by chance, even though God was at work here, she came in contact with Boaz, who was a wealthy relative of Naomi's husband. And then we see from the Bible that Boaz, when he saw Ruth, right away, he was attracted to her. So what's going to happen? We're going to find out now as we get into chapter 3. Going on to our outline now, we see Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, basically playing the role of a matchmaker, we might say. Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, shouldn't I try to find a home for you? In other words, find a husband for you, and that husband then can make you happy. In other words, he can provide you with a son." Then Naomi shared this plan with Ruth. She said to her, "You know, Boaz is going to winnow barley on the threshing floor tonight. Wash and anoint yourself, put your garment on, and go down to the threshing floor. Don't let the man know you're there till he finishes eating and drinking. When he lies down, notice the place where he lies down, then go in, uncover the place at his feet, and lie down there. He'll tell you what to do." Well, a little bit different than our culture today, isn't it? But that was the cultural practice back then regarding dating, moving toward engagement and marriage, and so on. Why would Ruth follow such a crazy plan? Keep in mind now, she was from Moab, and they may have had a completely different practice there in Moab in regard to finding a husband. But Ruth is trusting Naomi. She's living in a different country. She's in a completely different place. So she trusts her, and she does so because Boaz had already shown kindness to Ruth. Ruth knew that Boaz was a close relative. Ruth needed a husband because her husband had died, and she also hoped for a son. So she responded to her mother-in-law and said, "I'll do everything you say." Then, in fact, she did. What about us? Have we made commitments in life, and then for some reason we've fallen short? All of us have in one way or another, but what is the good news, though? The good news is that God loves us, that he sent his son, he is the Christ of Christmas, and through him we have God's forgiveness, and now he's calling us to go forward in a new and better and more wonderful way with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we see the actual execution of this plan that Naomi had shared with Ruth. The Bible says, "At midnight, the man was disturbed," talking here about Boaz. "Turning over, he saw a woman lying at his feet. 'Who are you?' he asked." So keep in mind, it was certainly dark, it was midnight, but yet he could tell it was a woman, and then she responded, "I am Ruth, your servant," she said. "Spread your garment over your servant." What was she really saying to him? She was saying to him, "Marry me." A little bit forward, isn't it, for a woman to be saying that to a man? She was saying, "Marry me." And then she said, "Because you are a relative who can redeem us." So what she was saying to Boaz, you can marry me, I can have a son then, and then he can get Naomi's property. So she was really saying a lot in the few words that she said. However, though, Boaz was attracted to her. There were many benefits for Ruth, so it looked like a very good situation for both of them. And then Boaz gave her this response. He was very happy with what she said, and he responded to her, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This last kindness that you didn't go after the young men, whether they were poor or rich, is better than the first." Doesn't that tell us that maybe people thought back then a bit like we do today? When people are looking for someone to be with, oftentimes they're looking for maybe somebody the same age, maybe somebody younger, but generally, though, not looking for somebody older. However, here, though, it indicates that Boaz was maybe much older than Ruth, because what did he call her? He called her daughter. So maybe he was 20 years older. We don't know. But they were both attracted to each other, and they could both be a special blessing to each other. And then think about this. Even though Ruth deserved nothing from Boaz, she was a foreign woman, he had no obligation to her, and even though we deserve nothing from our great God in heaven, it was love from Boaz to Ruth, it is love from God to us that moved them to redeem us. So let's keep that in mind. Not a quality in us, but because of a quality in them is what moved them in that direction. However, though, there's a potential problem here. Boaz said to Ruth, "I'm not really the nearest relative, but there's another relative who is the nearest relative, one closer than I." What Boaz was saying is, the other relative, he is the one who has the first opportunity to marry you. And Boaz realized that. And then he said to Ruth, "If he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he doesn't want to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem him." Now, he spoke in such a way that it seemed like no problem for him, but we know from earlier in the book, from last week, we know that he was attracted to Ruth, and he said the right thing, but did he really mean that, though? Wasn't that kind of a dilemma for him? He was attracted to her, he wanted to marry her, and yet he knew he was second in line. Naomi then went and explained the situation to Ruth in this way. So after Ruth left Boaz, she went back to Naomi, and Naomi said to her, "Wait here till you know how the matter turns out. The man will not rest, but will settle this thing today." Isn't that extraordinary? He would settle it that day. Can you imagine in America where we had something like that going on? That would get tied up in the court systems probably for years, wouldn't it, before it was ever worked out? He was going to settle it, though, that very day, Naomi told her. Going on now to chapter 4, we see that Boaz followed the proper procedure here. He wasn't going to go about it in any kind of a deceptive way, even though you'll catch some words he says, which maybe were meant to influence the one who was closest, maybe in a negative way. The Bible tells us that at the city gate, he saw the relative he mentioned, in other words, the one first in line, he saw the relative he mentioned passing by. "You there," Boaz said, "come over and sit down here." He came and sat down, the Bible says. Then he took 10 elders of the town and said, "Sit down here." And they sat down. They seemed to be fairly obedient people. He said, "Sit down," and they sat down. Well, now that the appropriate people were assembled, he could talk business in a legal manner with his relative. No matter how much Boaz wanted to marry Ruth, he was determined to follow the law. When it comes to the law of God, let's never think that it can save us. No matter who we are, no matter how much we know the law, no matter how diligent we are in following it, the law cannot save us. However, though, there are a number of passages in the Bible that tell us that when we seek to follow the law, that is honoring to God and that can be a blessing to us in our lives. This is what Boaz explained now that he has everyone there and he's ready to conduct some legal business. He said to them, "Naomi is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. And I thought I'd tell you about it and say, buy it in the presence of these men sitting here. If you want to redeem it, redeem it. But if you don't want to, tell me." So Boaz was being right up front with him. He was telling what the situation was. He was saying the property is available. He's saying, you have the first opportunity, so if you want it, go for it. So it tells us how the man then responded. Right away he said, I'll redeem it. So he made a quick decision. He wanted the land, but he didn't quite understand the whole situation, though. So Boaz explained to him, the day you buy the field from Naomi, you'll also be getting Ruth, the Moabite widow of the dead man. Doesn't that sound like a nice way to put it? Oh yeah, you get that Moabite widow of the dead man right along with the land, in order that the dead man's name may continue with his inheritance. Oh, quite throwing a wrench into the situation here. The man wanted the property, but he wanted nothing to do with the dead man's widow, who in fact was a Moabite. So for certain, wanted nothing to do with her. And I think probably, I don't quite understand the whole thing here, but I think probably the deal probably also included taking care of Naomi as well. So it involved much more than he wanted. And of course, Boaz was sly here too. He pretended like he could care less about Ruth, because if he would have let on to that, then the man might have bargained with him, might have made it more difficult. But Boaz, you can tell, he talks in kind of a stern way, kind of a plain way. He shows no interest in Ruth at all. The relative answered. So after he thought about what Boaz said, he answered, I can't redeem it. In other words, I can't redeem the land for myself. If I did, I'd ruin my own inheritance. You take over my right to redeem it because I can't redeem it. So was he really telling the truth? I think the thing with Ruth, it looked pretty negative. He's like, nope, you take it. I'm out of here. Can you imagine Boaz? Because I think it was kind of a scheme on his part, but he went about it in a very careful way. He might have had a stern look on his face, but in the inside, he was smiling. He was getting what he wanted. And then the deal was sealed. So how did they do that? Did they take out a piece of paper and they both signed a contract? The Bible tells us it was done this way, that a man took off his shoe and gave it to the other person. So when the relative said to Boaz, you take it, the relative took off his shoe and gave it to Boaz. Then Boaz told the elders and all the people, you are witnesses today that I bought from Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to her sons. I'm also marrying Ruth, the Moabite widow. Once the deal had been made, now Boaz could freely speak about his plans. He was wise in waiting to reveal that information. What about us? We've been blessed with so much knowledge about so many different things. But what is wisdom, though? Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. What is a fool? A fool is someone who knows something but does not apply that knowledge in a proper way. So let us be more like Boaz. Let us be wise. Let us take what we know and let us make proper application. And then we see a blessing here spoken by the witnesses to Boaz. So keep in mind, this group of men, they're gathered. This was the legal situation. And then they said to Boaz, the Lord make the woman who's coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the family of Israel. May you be mighty in Ephrath and famous in Bethlehem. You might remember from the first sermon in this series that Ephrath is another name for Bethlehem, so it's simply repeating the same location twice as far as anyone can understand. And then they went on to say, from the children God will give you through this young woman, may your family grow. So through this young woman. So again, we heard Boaz refer to her as daughter. Even the people who are gathered there, they somehow know she's a young woman. They know that Boaz is not a young man. So again, probably a lot of years of difference between the two. What about Dr. Luther and his wife, Katie? How many years were there in between? Anybody know? Dr. Luther was much older. He was 17 years older. So maybe a similar situation here with Boaz and Ruth. And then the Bible goes on to tell us the order of events. Here in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Then Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He lay with her, and the Lord had her conceive, and she gave birth to a son." Now, that's not surprising to us, is it? That particular order, but it would seem in today's world, many people, I don't even think, know that order, and the ones who do know that order, in many cases, they don't care anything about following that order. But that's the God-given order, though, that we find in the Bible. And then coming somewhat toward the end of the message here, we see what the women said to Naomi regarding the son of Ruth. So keep in mind, I just stated that she was pregnant, and now what does the Bible say? They said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who today hasn't left you without a relative to redeem you. Let the child's name be proclaimed in Israel. He'll renew your life and nourish you in your old age. He's the child of your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons." So remember the meaning of the word Naomi? So it means pleasant. And her life was pleasant when she left Bethlehem years earlier with a husband and two sons. When she came back, they called her Naomi, and she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which means bitter. So that's how her life was after what had happened. But she continued to trust in the Lord. She continued to be patient. Life was difficult. She didn't know her future. But now, though, with the events of her life, with Boaz marrying Ruth, with God blessing Ruth with a son, now those tragic events in the mind of Naomi and even of the town of Bethlehem, those events have been reversed. And now there is joy returned again to Naomi and to her family. Let me conclude in this way. We have the genealogy now from Abraham to David. Let me touch on this real briefly. So we go from Abraham. So keep in mind that Abraham is the father of the people of Israel. So God narrowed down as to where his son would come from when he chose Abraham and said, "All people are going to be blessed through you." So Abraham, and then we go on to Isaac. He has the one son Isaac between him and Sarah. And then we go on to Jacob. So there was Esau and Jacob, but the line continues through Jacob. And then Jacob had the 12 sons, but the line continues through Judah. And that was an unusual thing because the one that comes after Judah would be Perez, but yet it was Judah with Tamar. And that's a story you can read on your own there in Genesis. Quite a story, though. But we come to Perez, and then after him, to Hezron, and then Amminadab, Nashon, Salmon. Now, Salmon, how did he end up having Boaz? That was with Rahab, who was there in Jericho and was spared when they conquered the city. So it's kind of unusual that we have Tamar in here, kind of unusual that we have Rahab in here, but that's where Boaz comes from. Rahab is the mother of Boaz, and then Boaz is with Ruth, this Moabite widow, which is unusual, but they have a baby who's named Obed, and then Obed becomes the father of Jesse. And why is Jesse important? Because Jesse is the father of David. And David ends up being the greatest king of Israel, but yet God said one day he would have a son. he would have a descendant that would be an even greater king, and he would reign forever and ever, and that is pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see how the little town of Bethlehem, though insignificant in many ways, God chose it, God blessed it, God was in control of the events going on there, and it all points to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, by a strange path, which included unlikely women like Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth, you brought David and eventually your son into the world. Though we have all sinned, let us see what you have done, and let us always give you thanks for having taken great radical action in order to redeem us. In Jesus' name, we give you our thanks. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.